appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful that God's mercy renews every morning. His compassions never fail. I'm thankful I can cast all my care upon Him, for He careth for me. I love Him because He first loved me. It took a love, a supernatural love, even bigger than that, to leave heaven for a sinner such as me, such as you. He died for every man, boy, woman, and girl, all that's ever lived, and all that ever will. He died for us all, and I want to repay that back to Him as much as I can. I'll never be able to, because that price, Jesus is the only one that could pay it. At Calvary, He shed His precious blood, trickled down that cross, as He thought about every one of us. He knew what we were going to do. He knew the sins that we were going to commit. He knew how we were going to disobey Him and fail all the time, fall, get back up, and fall again. God saw everything. He saw that we were going to reject Him at first. He saw every bruise that He was going to have, every scar, every slap, every spit in His face, every bone pulled out of joint, all His strength dried up like a potsherd. His tongue cleaveth to the jaws of His mouth. Yet He still left heaven. The splendor of heaven, how beautiful it must have been, Him and the Father, together. But yet He left heaven, knowing what He was going to go through. I guarantee if we knew that we were going to have to suffer in such a way, we would try all that we could to get out of it, to try to go around it. That's what we do as humans. We try to get shortcuts. We try to do things quicker. We try to do things, you know, cutting through the path, so to speak. But I'm thankful that God didn't take any shortcuts. He dotted every I, crossed every T of the scripture. He did everything that was written of Him and everything that was required. He did everything perfect. He was perfect from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. And altogether lovely is the name of Jesus. I want you to know how beautiful He is. And I wish I could open up my soul and let you really see how beautiful He really is, how wonderful and how precious the lovely Savior is. He saved me when I was 20 years old. I was a young man, void of understanding. I didn't have a whole lot of understanding about life. I was 13 years old when I first heard the Word of God. I've been to church all my life. I didn't get into the hard drugs. I didn't get into the alcohol as far as being abusive. I didn't even get into all that stuff. You know, the way you use it and the way you do things and the headaches that come afterwards, it's nothing compared to what I'm about to tell you. But I was 13 years old. I heard the Word of God. I knew what it meant to be saved. I knew I needed to be saved. I felt the love coming from the pastor, and it was something that I never felt. Before I was 13, as a young boy, I was always angry. I was always upset and depressed about life. You know, why am I going through the things I'm going through? At such a young age, you know, the devil's strong and his flesh is weak. The devil took my mind so strong, he would lie to me all the time and torment me with demons all the time. I was just depressed, you know, didn't know who to turn to, didn't know what to do, didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know what to say when I got to a person to talk to him about. But I'm so glad that I heard the Word of God. That's exactly what this world is missing today, is the Word of God. They're taking God out of government. They've taken God out of schools. They've taken God out of the households, out of the churches, for goodness sake. He's on the outside of the door, knocking, trying to get in. But I'm so thankful that I was born in a family where the real Word of God is really being preached, still is today. I'm a product of the salvation. I'm just a product of my grandfather's, and even further up, his ministry, that he's been faithful. He's been saved for 56 years. And he's been a faithful man ever since the day that he was saved. He got straight to prayer. He got straight to study. He started seeking God's face early, first and foremost above all things. And everything has been added unto him. God called him to preach. God blessed him in a mighty way. And I'm trying to put my best foot forward and follow what little bit I can in his footsteps. I'll probably never be able to amount what he really is, what he's done, and what he's been through. And even not even getting close to the people that are in the Bible and what they went through. I'm just trying to be what little bit I am. The only good part about me is the Lord Jesus on the inside. That's the only good thing I'm telling you today. But I was 13 years old when I heard the Word of God. And you know what I did? After hearing the Word of God all the time as a young kid And as my first age of teenage, I heard the word of God. I understood it. I knew that if I died in that condition, that I would go straight to hell. Hell was not created for me and you. It was created for the devil and his angels. That's when I understood that I needed help. I always knew that I needed some help. I needed something, and I was missing something. But see, as humans, we try different things in life. We try to go try partying, having sex with everybody we can, and maybe going to here to try alcohol here and trying this drink and trying this drug to try to get your high, try to get away from life, try to complete, burn your brain cells. That's all you're really doing. But luckily and thankfully, God kept me from a lot of things because I heard the word of God. That's back to what I was saying. This world needs the preaching of the word of God with the spirit filled. There's all kinds of churches. You can see one on every corner. There's a church, but there's nobody really preaching the word of God. There's nobody really saying anything about convicting, about broken heart and a contrite spirit, about hell, about the devil and what he does to us and this rotten, stinking flesh, and about repenting of our sins or we'll all likewise perish. You don't hear that in these churches. All you hear is, blessed are they that give. Better it is to those that give than to receive. Give your money here. Give your money there. Blessings will come your way. Trust me, you give $1,000. That's the miracle number. You give that money. You send your alms here. You help these people. You do this. You do that. You do this good work and God's going to bless you and go on your way. He's going to heal you of your disease. And the next day, these people are dying from the diseases. They're being confused. They send all of their money, and here they are bankrupt. And these people are just padding their back pocket full of your money. I'm not here to take your money. I have a full-time job, and I love to work. Matter of fact, I love to pray. This is not a job to me. I love to pray. I love to study. I love to seek God's face. He did everything for me. When I called out to Him with that broken heart and contrite spirit, after 7 years, from that age of 13 all the way to age 20, I ran away from God's call. I heard it. I knew He was speaking to me. I went home when I was 13. I went home and I had a bunk bed back then. I climbed up the ladder and I laid down my head on my pillow and I thought about what the Word of God was being talked about. And I knew I had a few tears even run down my face and I was, just crying a little bit, say, God, I don't want to die right now. I don't want to die in this condition. But see, I didn't give my whole heart to God. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, God requires the heart sacrifice. He don't require the blood anymore. The blood has been shed at Calvary. That's what Jesus did. Ever since He died, since He shed His blood at Calvary, it's been completely paid for. All we have to do as humans is give our broken heart and contrite spirit. You have to be convicted by the Word of God. And then you have to be converted. Without conviction, there is no conversion. You can't just go to some random church with that's not even really preaching the Word of God of anything that I've been talking about and expect to go to heaven, expect to get saved by joining up with a church, putting your name on the church roll, getting baptized in the water, turning over a new leaf, quitting your drinking, quit your drugs, quit your cussing, quit, running around with all these different women or men and doing all these types of things, even murder, all these different, they're all forgivable. But all that, quitting everything like that, every last sin that you have, quitting it all, would never get you saved. You see, it takes a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It said it very plainly. The only sacrifice that God would not despise is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what God requires today, is the heart. When you get emotional, that's coming from your heart. When you have somebody that, that you love that passes away, you get emotional. That's from the heart. But God is not talking about emotion. He's talking about the spirit, the soul, deep within. God wants to know, do you really want to serve Him? Do you love Him like He loves you? Have you really called out on Him with all of your heart? Ask yourself today, have you really had a time that you remember very, very, just plain as day? I remember back in the past where you said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I need help. I want mercy. I don't want to die in this condition. I want to be saved. I'll live for you, Lord. If it means dying right here in this condition that I'm at, if I have to just die and get saved now and go to heaven, then so be it. May it happen now. That's what I prayed when I was 20 years old. Those 7 years passed by. I said, God, please help me. I don't want to die in this condition. I can't. I know where I would go. I would go straight to hell. And that scares me. It puts fear in me. And I had that fear forever, and I still do today, but I'm not afraid to die no more. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know where I'm going when I pass away. God don't have 30, 60, or 90-day plans. He don't just give you something and take it right away. You see, this is how I'm talking about salvation. This is eternal salvation. This is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God gives you eternal life. He said, my sheep have eternal life. No man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. That comforts my heart every day that I know that I've been born again, that I'm saved, that I just have eternal life. I don't have to worry about dying no more. I was, before I got saved, a few weeks, maybe a month before I got saved, the Holy Spirit was beckoning me. He was dealing with me. It was convicting me. I was scared of dying. I felt like somebody was going to stab me, come up behind me and rob me and kill me and shoot me in the back, or I was going to go off the road in a car crash, or I was going to have a heart attack, or come down with a terrible dose of cancer. All these things would run through my mind, and the devil would just work on me all the time about it. But the Holy Spirit was working on the inside, telling me, hey, I'm the answer, I'm the antidote, I'm the true peace and joy that you've been looking for all your life. And that's exactly the call that I finally answered. The Word of God came again the second time, and I said, Lord, please have mercy. I need help. I'm tired of this torment. I'm tired of this trouble. I'm tired of this anguish in my soul. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of feeling this way. And the Bible comforts me. We read that scripture. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered me out of all of my troubles. Thank God he gave me peace. He gave me true joy from heaven. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. Thank God for that. I could never repay him for all that he's done for me, all that he's been doing for me. He called me to preach. He gives me the opportunity to bring his precious word before you. I'd rather preach than eat when I'm hungry. God knows my heart. I love your soul today. I love you. I don't care what your color is, what your status is, if you're famous, you're poor, you're rich, what color you are, what denomination, what's your nationality. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. I just am interested in your soul. I'm interested in where you're going. Don't be confused by these doctrines and these different types of things, these religions and these so-called gods that you worship. You see, everything that you think of is a god. Computer, internet, just porn, just all these types of things, drugs and alcohol and, you know, serving anything before the Lord, anything before the Lord is a god to you. But see, my God, I serve the true and the living God. There's no such thing as a living and a saving Muhammad or a Gandhi or any type of that sort. The only one, neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. You can go read in chapter 4 of Acts. I believe it's verse 12. You can go read that for yourself. Neither is there any name among men. It talked about Jesus of Nazareth right before there. And it talked about there's none other name given among men whereby he must be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. See, God sent his Son. He didn't just push him down. He didn't kick him in the head down out of heaven. Jesus came just like he was by himself. He had a choice, and he made it because he loved us. He saw all our need. He didn't see that we were doing so wonderful and so good. He said, man, these people are doing good down there. Let me go gift them with eternal life. No, he saw our need. He saw the anguish. He saw the pain. He saw our flesh, how weak it was, how the devil was on a rampage, walking to and fro, seeking to whom he may devour. God said, I'm not going to let that happen because we are God's highest creation. I'm not saying that we're somebody. We're nothing. We're frail. We're pitiful. There's nothing good about us. But Jesus, if you've been born again, if you're really a Christian, then get with it. Put out an effort. Do your praying. Do your studying. If you've really been born again, if you really know, you know what I'm talking about. This old-time religion will start fluttering your soul. You'll, you know, have something in common with me, whatever I'm preaching, and you'll enjoy it. It won't convict you. You'll enjoy what I'm saying if you've really been born again. But I see my time's about gone. Do your praying, do your studying, and may God bless you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.